record? Yeah. Okay, we're good.
Coming up on TMS, I can tell you where you can get your spoilers.
I like this Mitch Rapp fella.
Jedi love.
The Falcon landed.
Genlaw kisses and told.
What will the universe do now?
Nick Cage will take it back.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Excuse me.
There's a couch in the lobby that has a better sense of humor than you do.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
Hey, Birdum. This is The Morning Stream. Bye-bye.
And we haven't heard from the Hey Birdum lady in a long time.
We haven't, and it's funny because I think of her often, because when you play that Magic the Gathering puzzle quest game that you recommended,
yeah,
the first thing you see is the launch screen with like all the logos of the companies that put it together. Wizards of the Coast, for example.
Yeah.
One of the companies is named Hi Burnham.
Really?
Yep.
No way. All yes. One word, right? Like not separated out.
Not separated out. And it's Burnham with an N as opposed to Burnham with a D.
That's amazing, though.
Hi, Burnham.
What a great thing to have.
Hi, Burnham.
Remember that lady? Oh, those good times.
That would be actually, it's too bad we don't know somebody at, still know somebody at Wizards of the Coast, because we could probably get them to add that sound to the app when you launch it.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Can you imagine that? That would be.
I burn them.
They would put it. Everyone's got their little intro logo. Why not, man? Why not have a little Hi Burnham in there? Oh, that lady.
Why not?
Hey, what's going on? I feel like I just talked to you because we just did a thing last night.
We did. Our the spoiler cast for Film Sack.
Yeah, that was a beast.
Which I was thinking, oh, it's going to be an hour long. No problem. I'll, you know.
Yeah. How long did it go? Let's see.
Almost 2 hours.
Oh my gosh! Look at that.
We were on for like an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, we
and
thought
I had
we
to
thought,
pee so bad.
Did you have to pee? I didn't know.
Yeah,
you should have said. You guys
I was dancing.
Pee. Should have just pulled out a little bottle or something and peed in the bottle. There.
A little trucker's buddy.
Yeah.
Keep one under my desk.
Yeah, or a what do they call them? A stadium pal. Could have had one of those on.
Oh yeah, right.
That's a podcaster's best friend.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, seems like a thing you'd want. Yeah, we did a spoiler cast for Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Unwakens.
Unwakens.
we did that on FilmSack last night, and that was a whole lot of fun, and I have never gotten quite so much positive feedback before. People
wow.
are loving it. So,
good.
Except for the few that are like, already? I can't see the movie for some time. I won't be able to listen to this episode.
Well,
fine.
That's the magic of podcasting. Yeah. It will be there when you're ready.
It's there whenever you're ready. And go see Star Wars. Gosh dang it. What is up with people?
What are you waiting for?
Yeah. I guess there's probably some good example. Somebody somewhere got a reason that they haven't gone yet. But not all of us can go first weekend. I get it. My buddy Bo Schwartz, co-host on The Core, he can't see it until Christmas Eve because his family's going and he wants to go with them. And so he's saving himself for that experience, which is great.
It's very nice.
Totally get that. But hey, what's an extra week of not hearing FilmSack? It's fine. It'll be there. Don't worry.
Exactly. It'll sit there. It'll percolate.
Yeah.
It'll stay warm.
Yeah.
In its own juices. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready for it, it's there.
Ugh. Its own juices. It is The Morning Stream. I am Scott Johnson. That is Brian Ibbett. And it is Tuesday, the 22nd of December. We are a mere few days away from the Christmas holiday.
Wow.
As celebrated across the world. Brian, it's the time of year when stuff happens. And
yes.
Check it out. FilmSack and Current Geek, all up online now. All spoilers all the time. That also went long. We're usually an hour on that show, and that went like for an hour and 45.
Wow, I'm going to have to check that out, too.
Yeah, that was great. We had Jury and Jenny and Tinvec on, member of the community, good man.
Yep. Cool.
Alex, that was great. We had a really good time. And what's interesting is I was worried that the two shows would be very rehashy of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They weren't at all.
Oh, really?
Yep. We had a very different track on our FilmSack discussion than we had on the Current Geek one, which made me very happy because despite the fact that all of it is about Star Wars and predictions and spoilers and everything else, they both felt like animals of their own.
Right.
And that was good. So,
that's what you want. Because otherwise it's going to be like,
I'm going to repeat the same things. I really like this, and I really don't like this. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. And we didn't do that. We gave you two.
That's good.
That's like 3-4 hours of not quite that, but maybe 3.5 hours of quality, solid entertainment for anyone who can't get enough of Star Wars talk right now. Star Wars talk.
Just can't get enough.
All right. A recommendation to make. I like to make recommendations.
Please make them.
It's like a recommendal, but it's not for a streaming thing. It's not for a TV show. It's not for a movie. It's a book. I want to recommend a book. Yeah, an entire.
It's one of those TV shows that it has pages, right?
Yeah, that's the one. You get a little unit there called the Kindle. That's how I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Mitch Rapp series. Oh, I gotta find the author's name. It just left my mind. Anyway, this poor guy, because he actually passed away, and I had never heard of Mitch Rapp before. Oh, Vince Flynn is the writer, the creator.
Okay. Oh, Mitch Rapp is the character.
Is the character.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a series of novels by Vince Flynn. They're doing a film, I guess, called American Assassin.
Okay.
I have not heard of where that's at in terms of production or anything, but this author, Vince Flynn, he used to be a what's somebody who helps out with your TV show? A consultant.
Oh, okay.
He was a consultant for 24. Which makes perfect sense now. So a fan said to me, hey, if you like quick reads, fun page-turning, exciting, pulpy novels, which I do, you should check out the Mitch Rapp series. And I thought, I'd never even heard of this. And so he says, yeah, it's a little Tom Clancy, a little spaghetti Western, but it's not a Western at all. It's all like spies and espionage and, you know, government takeovers and cool stuff like that. Like very, very much.
Really?
It's very much in the vein of Tom Clancy stuff. Jack Ryan-esque, if you will. And I thought, all right, I'll check the first one out, or I'll read the sample and see if I'm in or not. Got into that thing, completely absorbed in the first chapter or whatever they give you for free. Immediately bought the rest of the book. Have been just pouring through that thing. It's really, really good, that series. I'm only in book one, so I can't speak to the rest of it. And there's a ton of them. But I really, really like it. So I want to recommend it. Sadly, Vince Flynn died at age like 44 or something from very fast acting, as it always seems to be, pancreatic cancer. Came, got him, and he went, which is really unfortunate, because now reading this, I realize, oh my gosh, this could have been one of those authors that was just around forever doing amazing books. So I want to recommend it. Read it. Book one is called... Crap, what's the name of the one I'm reading right now? Is it The Survivor? No. It is called... Ah, shite. Hold on. Where are the books? Hey, Wikipedia, how about making your fundraising thing take up half the page when I go to Wikipedia? How about that? Let's make that happen every time I go there. Here it is. Transfer of Power is the first book. Highly recommend it. People should check it out. Brian, if you like that kind of stuff at all, I think you'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. So I like that stuff.
Okay, I'm going to play something for you, and we need to make a decision together whether we're going to call this number or not, all right? So here's this audio. Check this out.
All right.
Here you go.
Lonely, are you? No, Java's not here right now.
All right, did you hear her say it?
She said Java's not here right now?
Java's not here right now. It is a 900 number. 1-900-HOT-JEDI, okay?
All right.
Hot Jedi. I thought it'd be fun to see if this phone thing still exists. This was in the 80s. This was a late night thing that would come up at like 2 a.m. on your TV, and it would encourage you to call ladies that look like Twi'leks and freaking sand people and stuff like that. And you were supposed to get some, you know, some hot social fun on the phone by calling these people, right?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we should call it. Just see what happens.
How do we know how much this costs? I guess... Can you call a 900 number with Skype?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out. So all here right. We go. We're going to give it a shot. We're going to go 1-900. Hold on. Hot Jedi. How does that translate? Hot Jedi 4. I'm doing this again.
Do you need me to pull up my
six,
phone and
no,
get
I got
you
it.
Letters?
I got it. 6. What's T? T is 8.
Oh, jeez.
Jedi.
5-3-3-4.
5-3-3-4?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here we go. We're adding 1-900-HOT-JEDI to the call.
All right.
Oh, it didn't work. Why? What's going on? Maybe 900 numbers aren't supported. Maybe I could have tried this before. Yeah, dang it. It's not going to do it.
Because
it's 900. No, I know they charge money, Daryl, who quickly texted us. And I'm glad that he knows that so well and so quick off the top of his head that it costs money to call a 900 number. So thanks for letting us know. Yeah, I guess it's not going to work. But I'm very curious.
Yeah, I think Skype will probably say, nope, no.
Very curious, though, about where this might take us. Let's hear it one more time.
Lonely, are you? No, Java's not here right now.
Oh, my good Lord.
Is that Courtney Stodden?
No, but it should be. You know what, chat? Here, you guys can have it. Here you go. Enjoy that. Put that on loop and never forget. Never. Oh,
yeah. Captain Kringle actually put the entire YouTube video in there.
Oh, there's a whole video?
Oh, no, I guess not. I thought that was the...
Oh. I ain't clicking on that link. Who knows what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Good fun for everyone. That's what I like to say. Here's this. Whoops. What I meant to say is, here's this. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Charge you up the wazoo, we will. A Dad's View podcast. This week, we chat with Daddy Pig from the hit kids show Peppa Pig, voice actor Rich Ridings. He talks about Red Dwarf, working with Andy Serkis, and of course, Daddy Pig. Listen to A Dad's View podcast. This is a safe place.
Have you ever heard of Daddy Pig? I've never heard of that.
I haven't heard of Daddy Pig or Peppa Pig.
Mm. Jeez, Daryl, you seem to know a lot about these 900 numbers.
Oh, it was well known back in the day that those cost lots of money.
Yeah, it says 900 numbers. Your text to us was 900 numbers charge money, sometimes a lot in all caps.
Yeah. Like a buck for the first minute and then like $5 a minute thereafter or something.
Who was doing that? Who was doing that? Those don't exist now, right? You can't just call some 900 sexy line, can you?
I haven't seen any.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder.
Because why would you? You have the internet now. You don't need to go talk to fake people.
Yeah.
900 numbers. I'm just going to do a quick search.
How do they work?
How does it go? Here's the... it looks like most of these are gone. Like Verizon no longer even bills for it. Let's see. Corey Haiman. Oh, there's a Corey Haiman, Corey Feldman hot fan line.
Ooh.
Or a fan hotline?
That's disconnected.
Well, let's play it. Let's see. I got a commercial here. Let's see.
Guess what? Corey Haim and Corey Feldman are giving out their personal numbers. If you call 1-900-909-3700, you can listen to their private phone messages and get their personal number where you can leave them a message.
That's so stupid. Why is that a thing, dude?
Not anymore.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, how about the Paula Abdul line? Let's see what that one is. I don't know if the volume's low on this or not.
Audio Entertainment presents pop music's new sensation, Paula Abdul.
I've got news you can use.
Straight up, she's going to tell you everything. Call 1-900-909-1800 now.
Wow.
These are amazing, dude. All right, here's a Hulk Hogan one. Want to hear this one?
Oh, sure.
All right, here you go. There you go.
New Sinus Max Liquid Gels.
What?
Unleash Sinus Max. Very loud and obnoxious.
Okay, finish your commercial. It's one of the animated booger commercials. Gosh dang it, YouTube. You're going to force me to get red, aren't you? I had blocking on, but it didn't block this. All right, here we go.
When the Macho Man Randy Savage locks up with Ric Flair for the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
Well, that's if Savage is taken out of the straitjacket. Because, you know, his arms are going to be tied behind him eventually. He's going to be banging his head off the wall at home because he's...
Okay, that's a terrible... That's not the commercial I was hoping for.
Yeah, no. It's...
Jessica Hahn's secret revealing hotline.
No way. Yeah. Jessica Hahn has a...
Yeah, remember her?
Oh, yeah. Brought down the Baker, the Tammy Faye and Jim Baker
deal. Yeah, whatever the hell that was. Now he's back doing prepper stuff. With his weird beard. Hold on, let's
prepper stuff.
Yeah.
I'm Jessica Hahn, and when people hear my name, they think of headlines.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm sorry. She's talking only in my right ear, which is lame. Warrant. Oh my gosh, Brian. Warrant had a hotline.
Let's hear some Warrant.
All right, here we go. Here you go.
Audio Entertainment presents Warrant.
Yeah, we like to rock and roll. We like to do a lot of other things, too.
Call the Warrant Rock Line.
We'll give you the warm, hard facts on our personal lives. Our fans always come first.
Just $2 the first minute, 45 cents each edition.
Are you kidding me?
The warm, hard facts.
Are you freaking kidding me? What the crap, Warrant? You're the worst. Oh my gosh, Grandpa Al Lewis from the Munsters fan hotline. How do these exist? Tiffany had one. Will Smith had one.
Who? Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
No, Tiffany, the Tiffany.
Oh,
Tiffany.
The mall singer, Tiffany.
Yeah, let's see what the Will Smith one says. Yeah, it might.
Yo, my name is the Prince. Stop whatever you're doing and listen to this.
You know, sometimes it's just nothing to do at home, so now you can call me and Prince on the telephone.
All the inside scoop, all the hip-hop scenes.
You know what? That's not him even. I mean, it's him. They're showing him, and it's 1-900-909-JEFF, by the way.
It's probably not him talking.
It's so stupid. This really is the greatest thing I've ever found.
Back in the 80s, there was a Star Wars line, and I called it, and I think I recorded it and sent it to you.
Oh, really?
A long time ago.
I don't remember.
So you probably have it somewhere.
I want it.
It was Han Solo. It was the 80s, and Empire Strikes Back. They had a promotional number you could call, and I called it and recorded it.
Well,
back in the 80s.
The final one I have here is the crying hotline. Number you can call that will make you cry. What makes people all over America break down and cry like this? For $2 a minute, you can find out. Here,
yeah, spending $2 a minute on a phone call would make me cry.
That would make me cry, too. Let's see what she says. Oh, she's crying.
What makes people all over America break down and cry like this? Call 1-900-740-3500 and hear it for yourself.
The feel-good number of the year.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to race right out and call that one.
There's so many more. Rapping Santas, Little Monsters, MC Hammer's hotline. What was the deal? This was the thing, I guess. UFO hotline. All right, these will have to be... I may have to capture some of these later. Daryl, sorry. You're the Trek Nerd. Hi. Welcome to the Stump of Trek
Nerd. We're sorry that you're the Trek Nerd.
Yeah. We got an actual Trek question today. We're off to Star Wars and on to Trek again. That'll be fun. Let's jump right in. We got this one here from The Next Generation. It's a clip. You got to tell what episode it comes from. Here's the clip. Here you go. Playing it right now.
Ship has one bridge. One bridge. One Riker. One bridge.
I've seen that lately. This may be easy.
I certainly haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Is it A, the Masterpiece Society? B,
no.
Okay. B, where silence has lease.
Nope.
C, time squared.
I don't know.
D, hero worship.
Well, now I'm confused.
Well, that's good because we like it when you're confused. All right. Well, don't. Oh, did you guys both get the thing with
the... No, I didn't get chocolates yet.
Oh, man. All right. We'll hold these. These look great.
Where'd it come from?
Amish country in Michigan somewhere.
Okay.
Because the Amish made them. I've never eaten anything the Amish made.
Wow.
So I'm really jazzed about this.
Gonna bust your Amish cherry with those chocolates, huh?
Yes. Yeah. In a manner of speaking, Brian, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully I get mine today.
Well, let us know. We'll hopefully we get it before Christmas.
Around 4 o'clock. Time for milking.
That's right. Book. John Book. That was his name, right? Wasn't it John?
John Book.
All right. Mm-hmm. I just remember that that movie was about three things for me when I was a kid. Or when I was young. It was about Danny Glover dying in a big giant cylinder full of hay or wheat or rice or
corn,
something.
I think.
Was it corn? All right. This is the one thing I didn't mention. And then it was about a kid doing like Spider-Man in a bathroom stall somewhere, watching someone get murdered.
Standing on the seat so that when you look under, you don't see his feet, right?
So that happened. And then it was all about Kelly McGillis's boob. Those are the three things I remember about
you know
movie.
It's funny, we watched Love Actually last night because I love that movie.
Great
and
movie.
It's a Christmas, you know, it's the but it's funny, it is the Christmas movie with a lot of nudity,
yeah
like a surprising amount of nudity,
more than you remember every time you see it.
Totally. Yeah, it's exactly the case. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I remember they had the right, you know, the couple that do the screen testing, or not the screen testing, but like the lighting testing for porn.
Yeah.
Tim from The Office, the British Office.
Yep.
But then you've got Truman's wife from The Truman Show, whose name all of a sudden I can't remember.
McKinney? No. Catholicism.
Ooh,
McKinley. Captain McKinley. Corn Cob McKinley. That's it.
Corn Cob McKinley. Or Laura Linney, maybe we'll say.
That's it.
I hope Nicole hears these and appreciates that we do it too.
Old Cord and Com McKinney out there doing her job again. Anyway,
yeah, but you got Laura Linney in the all together for a few minutes. Like, wow, I've completely forgot about all the nudity in this movie, and it's a bummer because it's one that I think Tristan would really enjoy.
Yeah, outside of that, there's not the movie isn't like super sexual in other ways.
Right.
It's just this like suddenly, sudden nudity. And I would love to sit down and watch that as a Christmas tradition with my younger kids. Yeah. But I'm not gonna.
But you feel kind of weird. Like, oh, here comes some more boobs. Yeah. Oh, we're in an art gallery and all the photos have boobs.
Yeah. I had somebody vehemently arguing with me via email that I need to be more open to the idea that it's okay for me and my daughter to sit and watch a movie where people are having sex and are naked. Trying to tell me that's a good thing. Hey, buddy. I don't care if you think it's a good thing or not. I'm not freaking doing it, okay? It's weird. It's freaking weird.
I certainly don't mind watching it, but watching it with my son, especially if he brings his girlfriend over to watch a movie like he has lately, it's like, yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yes, Love Actually, no.
Yeah, Love Actually, no. Sounds like a whole sentence.
Love Actually, no.
All right, Daryl, why don't you, since we don't have food to test, which is a shame, really. Give us this.
Hey.
Today in Star Trek history.
Well, on this day in 1993, TOS's Plato's Stepchildren aired on the BBC for the first time.
Oh, what was that about? This some sort of exchange program? What was going on there?
I don't know why it took them so long to show it there.
Yeah, that's a long time. We got Doctor Who before they got Star Trek, I'm thinking, probably, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe it was on a different channel.
That seems like that would be a great exchange, like, to bring our two people together, today we transfer the Doctor Who Season 3 for Star Trek Season 2 and Spock's mind, or whatever.
Right.
Spock's brain. Brain or mind?
Brain.
Brain. All right. Bad episode. Don't watch
brain
it.
Brain and brain. What is brain?
Also, that's Season 3, right?
Yeah.
Spock's brain? Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Season 3. It's a minefield of entertainment. All right, well, there you go. Let's celebrate that the only way we know how, which is to swing back and let you try to determine which episode that clip is from, The Masterpiece Society, Where Silence Has Least Time Squared, or Hero Worship.
Okay, I think I know this now. Where Silence Has Least is the one where this disembodied head guy floating in space makes... I'm describing this badly.
Is this a season one kind of thing? It sounds like it, the way you're describing
it. It's season one or two. Yeah. Mm. He makes the crew go through all these hoops and tortures them, and it's sort of Q-like. And one of the things is he makes the Enterprise have weird things about it, like infinite bridges and stuff. So Worf goes on the bridge and with Riker, and then they go through the exit door, and then they end up on another bridge.
Oh, right, and that's why he's like, does not compute, there's only one bridge. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
So I'm going to pick that.
You're going to pick Where Silence Has Lease?
Where Silence Pays Its Lease.
That's
on
right,
time.
On time, every month.
That was a dumb title, but I guess in some weird literary sense, it makes sense.
Well, let's find out if you're right.
Congratulations.
You're totally right.
You're a winner.
Worf and Riker are on the bridge, and through a door they see a duplicate bridge. Worf goes through the door and ends up on the same bridge he entered in from, just like you described. So there you go. That sounds like...
Portal.
It sounds like Portal, a little bit. They should have Yakety Sax music playing as he's going between the bridge. That seems like a good idea to me. Yes. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter at the Trek Nerd, and also on the fine Star Trek focused program This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, and on the venerable Grumpy Cast. Daryl, now share with us a game of your own making.
Okay, we're back into the leftovers.
I like
about
that show.
This one?
Oh, go ahead.
Let's see.
You're kind of hoping it'd be leftovers questions, right?
Kind of, except I'm not caught up on season two yet. But I love that new intro, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
isn't
right.
Isn't that cool? That is so cool.
Music, and then the people, like, voided out of photos and stuff.
Really neat. Yeah, I didn't expect that. I don't know what I expected, but it was super good. The font they use is, like, 80s Atari fonts or something. Mm-hmm. It's super weird. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go ahead, Daryl. Sorry.
Please, continue.
Yeah.
Armin Shimerman as Andrew Ryan in BioShock or Quark in DS9?
Okay, Quark or Armin Shimerman in what other thing?
Armin Shimerman as Andrew Ryan in BioShock.
Oh, okay.
or as Quark in DS9.
Was he? I didn't know he was Andrew Ryan.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
Whoa, dude. That's cool. No, I love that. I love that character. And now that you say that, I can hear it, but I never connected that his voice with that. All right, here's your theme.
How many languages do you speak?
All right, go ahead.
Nice.
I'm putting together a little rescue mission, and I'd like you to be part of my team.
Oh, geez.
Rescue mission. So does Ryan talk? So it's not Nathan from Infinite is who I'm thinking of, obviously.
No. It's, so in the original in Bioshock 2, well, Bioshock 1, I guess, Andrew Ryan is the guy you mostly hear in tapes like that you find.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
But later in the game, you face him, and then he talks to you directly. So it's possible he gave direct kind of conversational stuff then. Or this could have been, sometimes those recordings were of him interacting with other characters and telling them what to do. But it feels too easy to say Star Trek because I feel like this is trying to make us think, oh, they're on a team and they're doing a mission or something.
Right. But it easily could be, you know, a tape he left saying, I'm planning a rescue mission.
Yeah.
Plus would Quark have set up a rescue mission?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a Quark thing to do.
Does it?
No, but then there were those episodes where Quark has the heart of gold and does the right thing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's possible that, but I don't know. I lean heavily his
Bioshock.
Yeah.
I lean that way too. Right. So
we'll say Andrew Ryan.
I lean heavily that way too, but of course it's the wrong answer and it was Quark.
Damn it. Freaking frackety frick fro. Got us there, Daryl.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
And it's brought to you by Coverville. We are doing the countdown tomorrow. We start the countdown of the top 40 best covers of 2015, as voted on by you. You've gone to Coverville Radio. You've rated the songs. I have the sheet right here with those 40 songs on it. Big thanks to GnomeWise. Big thanks to John Funk. John helped me get put together a sequel query that pulls all that information out and weights the rankings based on how many votes they got. We had a few songs that only had one vote.
Oh, wow.
For five. And that you can't put a five-star rating with one vote over a song that's had, like, you know, 19 4.5-star and 5-star ratings. So he put together a real cool weighting system that we used, and I'm happy to say that I know the 40 songs we're going to be playing. And let me tell you, people are not tired of Radiohead's Creep getting covered.
Still in there. Still a threat.
Not just still in there, but I'll tell you, there are three versions of Creep in the top 40.
Oh my gosh. Are there any other duplicates?
Of songs?
Yeah.
There's a couple Taylor Swift ones that are, there's two different Taylor Swift songs.
How many of those are Shake It Off?
One of them is Shake It Off.
Great.
But it's a really good version of Shake It Off. I'm excited to play that version.
And it's not the Ryan, what's his name, guy.
Adams?
Yeah, that guy. It's not him.
Might be.
Oh, is it now?
Well, actually, no, that one's not.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. It is the Shake It Off by Ryan Adams, which was one of my favorite covers of the year, so I'm glad it made it in there.
Yeah, that whole album is real good.
It really is. Yeah. Covers of Phil Collins and Aerosmith, U2, David Bowie, Nirvana, actually a few Nirvana tracks.
Is there any covers of that? Wouldn't it be good to be that song?
No, there's no Nick Kershaw covers in here.
Damn it.
Yeah.
There
were none that came out this year.
I'm excited about this. And the votes are in. You're done. You got your list. It's good.
Votes are done. So, you can vote. By the way, starting tomorrow and going through the 26th, if you tune into Coverville Radio, you're going to hear Christmas music. So you can leave that on all day long and listen to great Christmas covers.
Yeah.
Big thanks again to GnomeWise for helping me put that together.
Good job, guys. Very exciting.
Yes.
The Falcon has landed. Not the Millennium Falcon, though.
No. I mean, because that lands on, well, never mind.
It landed two, but spoilers.
Well.
Not really.
No, it just, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, we're not.
I don't even think it's a spoiler, but I'm still not going to say anything.
Yeah, we're going to hold on.
Wow. I'm.
Look at you with the self-control.
Resisting.
Yeah. You're resistant.
I'm usually not the problem, though.
No,
let's be honest.
It's usually me. I admit it. Yesterday, so getting that all out of our system, though, on FilmSack and then Current Geek for me was very cathartic. So I feel like I don't need to spoil anything now. It's all out there. So go listen to those if you want to hear it. In the history-making launch late Monday, December 21st, during the Current Geek recording, which I felt bad about because I had nothing but a bunch of science and space nerds on the show and they were forced to do a podcast instead, the private spaceflight company SpaceX, you know, that's your
Elon Musk joint.
Yeah, your Elon Musk for the man who wants to smell like PayPal.
Smell like a millionaire, yeah. Billionaire.
You want to smell like PayPal? Put on Elon Musk. The private spaceflight company SpaceX blasted one of its two-stage Falcon 9 rockets into space and then returned the first stage of the rocket back to Earth in a stunning nighttime landing. The upper stage, by the way, stayed up in space and it delivered 11 satellites into orbit for SpaceX customer Orbcomm. That sounds ominous, doesn't it?
It does, Orbcomm. Huh.
Here at Orbcomm, we believe in defeating our enemies.
He kind of does. Yeah. Kind of does have a very ominous.
I don't like it. Yeah. Freaks me out. The feat was so awesome. We made the greatest hits video of the SpaceX rocket landing, which they showed on this website. But SpaceX itself captured the view with some amazing images. In fact, the rocket's return even surprised SpaceX founder, CEO Elon Musk, who initially thought the Falcon 9 booster didn't actually stick its landing. And there's some video he made on his iPhone for shooting all this stuff off. Anyway, it's pretty epic and awesome, and the fact that they pulled off a landing like that. I mean, usually rockets go up, they dump their poo, and we're done. Mm-hmm. Everything mm-hmm. gets destroyed. This thing right. came back and landed. Step one to the future of space, mankind, space.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, we take it for granted because all our TV shows and sci-fi movies show ships landing and taking off all the time. But it turns out it's actually kind of hard.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do.
You're basically throwing a pencil up in the air and then trying to get that pencil to land back down on its eraser.
Yes. This is all true. What? Unedited. Highlights coming across my Twitter feed. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm sorry. I thought they were talking about us editing the show. Yeah, I was sad I didn't get to see a bunch of that stuff live, but it was nice to catch up on it. So good job, space and men. Spacemen.
And X.
Jennifer Lawrence.
And a day for both space and X.
Yeah, it's gone well for both. Both space and X. Jennifer Lawrence, you know her. She's
sure.
Joy. That movie's mm-hmm. not doing very well.
Hasn't even come out yet.
Oh, well, review-wise, it's not doing
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's good. It had some bad reviews.
Yeah, when's it due out? Do we know?
Christmas. It's a Christmas
62%, that's not terrible, but for...
No, 62, it's way better than it was earlier.
Yeah, but for that guy, for that director, that's pretty bad.
For David O. Russell, yeah.
That's not great for him.
Hey, when we looked at this before, it was something like 30-something percent, so...
True that.
Maybe once it's out and people are seeing it, you know, maybe it's just landed with some very critical critics.
Yeah, could be. I want to watch The Big Short...
Yeah, I do too. That's one that's...
That's just a guy with one leg and he has to buy a pair of pants.
He can only go in circles.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the one that's also getting a lot of Oscar buzz. So this might be what Tina and I see on Christmas.
Daddy's Home, currently at 38% with Will Ferrell
Marky Wahlberg.
Mark. Yeah, it looks stupid, so I don't care about that. And Concussion, what's this about here?
That's the one with Will Smith where he's talking to... businesses about kids and helmets and football and stuff.
Oh, I had heard that it's too soft on the NFL, like it's trying to be too careful, but maybe it's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It reviews 63. It's not terrible. Point Break has no score yet. Opens on Christmas Day. Everyone getting ready for that? That'd be good.
Are there lines already? Line up.
Oh, yeah, baby. Star Wars still sitting pretty at 248 million domestic and 95%. That's high. Mm-hmm. Alvin and the Chipmunks in second place with 13%. Sisters at 70% for Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Boy, way down there though. 5 million. Mm-hmm. Then your Creed, your Good Dinosaur, your Krampus.
And then Creed, Krampus, and dinosaurs.
Creed, Krampus. Got a bad case of the Creed, Grandpas. Let's take a small break and hear the Kiss Hotline. All right, here you go.
All right.
09 Kiss, and we'll tell you about our new album, Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits, and all kinds of other stuff.
And me, Gene Simmons, and right now I want to put on my disc jockey voice. Kiss fans and rock and rollers, don't miss this opportunity. Listen, you guys, it's only going to cost you $2 the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. So
how were we ever talked into paying money for this shit?
Right?
It's so stupid. It's so stupid,
oh
Brian.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that? All right, Freddy Krueger's phone line. You want to hear this one?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Foolish friends, Freddy Krueger is on your phone. Dial this number now. I've got some tales to tell. Freddy's favorite bedtime stories. Deadtime stories. All brand new, straight from my boiler room to your home.
All right, the number is 1-900-909-FRED.
Fred.
Sorry, I got to do it. I have to do it. I'm going to do it on my phone because we know Skype won't do it. So hold on. We have to do
it. Right. I bet it's not going to still be working. It can't still be working.
It can't, right? It has to be canceled or something.
Yeah.
900-909.
I mean, I don't know if it costs money to maintain those, but.
F-R-E-D. R-E-D. Okay, here we go. Put it on speaker.
The call you are attempting to place is not allowed from this line.
What?
Please dial 611 for customer service. Or dial 1-800-331-0500 from a landline phone.
No.
Desde esa línea no se permite hacer esta llamada.
Can put a block on your phone for
maybe that's it.
900 numbers.
Oh, you know what? I'll bet because we're on a family plan, they probably do have that in effect.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I didn't think about that. Damn it. I want to see if 1-900-909-FRED is still available. All right, listen. The job of a tadpooler is to call that number, 1-900-909-FRED, record it. Mike, I'm looking at you, buddy. You have the ability to do this. And get back to us. All right? Let us know. All right, Brian.
Yeah, are we going to reimburse him for his money?
Yeah, I'll do it.
His 11 minutes of listening to Robert Englund.
Got a new movie out that's going to be big.
That also sounded like a wrestler, didn't it?
It did, actually. I still had a little bit of Hulk Hogan's line in my phone.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence kissed Liam Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth's brother, off screen, not on screen, off screen.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, hubba hubba, controversy. Liam's real hot. What would you have done, she says.
Okay.
When celebrities, cocktails in hand, take a hot seat opposite Watch What Happens Live Andy Cohen, they spill secrets like never before. Take Oprah Winfrey admitting to smoking weed, or Cameron Diaz confessing she, quote, swam in a lady pond. What is that?
Does that mean she dabbled?
Slam in a lady pond. That must
swam
be.
Swam in a lady pond.
That must be what that is. Right?
That's the only thing I can think of that, the only euphemism that seems to work in that case.
She's dabbled in the lady arts. The Real Housewives franchise counts A-listers Lady Gaga, Chrissy Teigen, Anna Kendrick among its devoted viewers, but Jennifer Lawrence has proven to be the biggest Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules superfan. What the hell is Vanderpump Rules?
You know, she's a spinoff of
Real Housewives
of
is that a person?
Probably Beverly Hills or Orange County or something.
Is that a lady? It's a person?
Yeah, something. It's Vanessa Vanderpump or something like that. I don't know. It's like she started a business and this is her restaurant. And
wow.
And I'm sad that I know as much about this as I do, but Tina kind of watches all the show.
We are so proud of the Vanderpump girl for making the show. When we sent her to America, we never knew if it would work out or not.
I'm thinking about calling our cable company and saying, anyway, could you just take Bravo off our lineup? Just like eliminate it completely.
From your lives. Well, anyway, she kissed Liam Hemsworth. So there's that.
Yeah.
Kind of a dumb story. All right. Who cares? Who gives a shit?
Whatever.
Steve Harvey screwed up. He missed the crucial Miss Universe rehearsal and blames his flub on a teleprompter. He mistakenly. So this is the Family Feud guy, the current dude.
Yeah.
He first announced that Miss Colombia had won the Miss Universe pageant before the true winner, Miss Philippines Pia Alonso Wurchbach.
See, and you thought Vanderpump was a crazy name.
Yeah, you know, that was weird. So here's how some of that went. I have some audio from the thing. Hopefully there's no commercial here. All right, here, go ahead, load it up.
This is a story about
Oh
doors.
My
it's
gosh.
Story of America.
I'm going to mute this commercial. Okay. Oh, gosh, dang it. There's a guy that looks like... Okay, stop. Okay.
The stuff doers do.
Okay, thanks, Chevron.
Keep us all doing what we do.
Okay, thanks, Chevron. Columbia! Okay, they crown her.
The first runner-up is Columbia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines. It was my mistake. It was on the card. Horrible mistake, but the right thing, I can show it to you right here. The first runner-up is Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to
so
go.
So apparently he read the, he had the list of who it was, and they always do the thing where it's like, they read all the runners up and then they say the winner right before they say the last runner up, because then it would be pretty obvious. They would have named everybody, and by process of elimination, you'd have the winner and it would be very anticlimactic. But so he accidentally read the first runner up instead of reading the winner.
Don't.
And I'm starting to petition now to see if I can get Steve Harvey to give out the best picture winner at the Oscars.
And the winner is... Angry Man, Harry Street. Oh, whoops. Sorry, it was the Martian. Yeah, no. He look, his deal is funny, but I feel bad for him because now he's got to go back and do what the survey says. Like, he's got to do all that.
Says, we asked 100 people, 10 answers on the board. What was your most embarrassing moment of all time?
Crowning Miss Columbia. Let me see it.
Survey says.
So Donald Trump weighed in because, you know, he used to run all this this Miss USA, Miss Universe crap, right? And they fired him from it.
Right.
He came back and said it was a horrible mistake and that they should co-crown them both. Give them both a trophy. It'll be huge.
Actually, that does seem, I mean, because you've, you know, not only is this bad for Steve Harvey, poor Miss Columbia, like, gets this, gets like a minute of feeling like she's on top of the world, and then it is just snatched right away from her.
I have a better question for you.
Sure.
Forget about poor Miss Columbia. Forget about other lady who is now embarrassed that she won, but then won this way. And forget about Steve Harvey, who's embarrassed because his white suit is weird or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Forget about all these people.
Right.
Why do we still have lady pageants? It's 2015.
Right.
These are stupid. They're bad traditions. Stop it.
Yeah. We should just, let's call them hot or not. You know, instead of the Miss America pageant, let's say, let's just make it the hot or not pageant, and then, then it'll fizzle out.
And it'll go away because people will realize, oh, yeah, it is kind of the same thing, isn't it? Oh, it is basically just a bunch of people parading around in their bikinis because we're a bunch of freaking perverts. It's stupid. It's lame, and it should end.
Agreed.
What is it good for? Nothing. Say it again. All right. I don't. Do we have man pageants? I don't think we do. Do we? Chat room asks. I don't know.
No. I mean, there was a Mr. Universe thing, and there's still the.
Well, that the muscle thing is different.
The muscle thing, right? Right.
That's more like.
That's what it was, Mr. Universe, right? It was only the muscle. It wasn't like.
Sure. And they have lady versions of that. But that's fine. I don't have a problem with those. Those are that's like an athletic competition, but. Like, when it's just like, there she is. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's a bad...
It is, and it's the end result of getting these women to go out on tour and speak in front of schools and things like that. That aspect of it is positive. How do we get to that part without having this... You know, basically, a beauty contest.
I think
we can
have that part just because people should be doing that part anyway. Like,
well, okay, I see what you're saying. Just go out and do it as opposed to...
Yeah, we don't have to crown some pretty lady from Columbia to get her to go to a school. You know, just go to schools, everybody.
Like, go visit a school.
Yeah, pageants. Lady pageants, dumb. Men pageants, even dumber. Laura in the chat room, man pageant is basically equivalent to Republican debates. All right, there you go.
Kind of, yeah.
Not
right.
bad. Not bad. Pageants are for developing nations and southern states. Thank you, Frog Fan 23917. Nicolas Cage finally in the news. Finally, Nicolas Cage in the news. Thank goodness finally. He's back. Yes. Nick Cage is going to turn over a stolen dinosaur skull. He's going to give it back to Mongolia. Now, before you think that Nicolas Cage, you know, when went down to Mongolia and stole a skull personally, And his,
it had the Bill of Rights inside, the real Bill of Rights.
But you couldn't tell until you put lemon juice on it.
Nicolas Cage will return a rare dinosaur skull he bought. He got that. He's going to take it back and give it to the Mongolian government. According to Reuters, Cage agreed to turn over the skull to the U.S. authorities so that they can be returned to Mongolia. Cage bought the skull for $276,000 in 2007. In the year 27. This was reportedly outbid. He outbid Leonardo DiCaprio in that bid. Publicist for Cage.
What does the D stand for? The middle initial D.
The, right?
Like, yeah. Leonardo. Leonardo of Caprio.
Yeah, Leonard of Caprio. There you go. Hey, wait, speaking of which, when does The Revenant come out? That's soon, right?
Yeah, that's Christmas also.
Oh, I'm really looking forward
to that.
Yeah,
I don't know why that didn't show up on the Rotten Tomatoes list, but it should have.
Yeah, weird. Kim and I are, we are all up on that. We're going to that.
Good, go see it. I have that movie too. I have Joy, Revenant, and something else for the draft. I think I have three Christmas movies. I don't know why.
I think Revenant's going to be a big deal. I think you're going to
see it. Covering all my bases, I guess.
I still am very curious. Everybody's mad that Tom Hardy's got second billing but is barely in it or something.
Of course, Hateful Eight. Yeah, that's the other one.
Oh, yeah, Hateful Eight. Yeah. Which is getting mixed thinking right now. People are like, meh.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It makes me a little worried, but whatever. Oh, you have Hateful Eight as well?
Uh-huh.
Wow, you have...
Joy, Revenant, Hateful Eight. I bought Christmas, and the movie draft is what I did.
Jeez. Joy's not going to perform well for you, but the other two might.
I think so, yeah. You might get a bunch of people who don't look at rating or reviews and go to Joy because it's a David O. Russell. And, you know, there's the Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence faithful out there.
Yep. They like those two.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I like to watch Alias back-to-back with a J-Lo movie. I don't know what that means. So anyway, publicist for Cage, told Reuters that the actor received a certificate of authenticity when he first purchased the skull. They were contacted later saying it was illegally smuggled out of Mongolia. Now he's decided to give it back. Will he get money, though?
I don't know. Like, yeah, well, he probably won't get his money back from who he bought it from if that person got it illegally.
And he's been hurting a little, right?
Like, I'd like a refund on my skull.
Please, I could eat it for hours.
All right, Nick Cage, good job. Way to go. I hope you get your money back because he's already making terrible movies to pay off his debts. So it would be nice if that money could come back to him.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, it's Fitness Geek Time. It's then Jury Duty, which should be fun. We missed these guys last week. And then that's it, really. That's the show today because that always goes long. So we'll get to all that in a minute. But before all that, Brian brought some music. What do you got?
I did. And this one, something I never, ever do, which is take a request immediately, like from somebody in the chat room. But they've had kind of a bad year, and Christmas time is kind of rough for him. I don't have a letter that goes along with this, but this is going out to Derek in the chat room. So thank you, Derek, for your request. People don't get any ideas. Don't think I'm going to do this regularly. It just happened. It was serendipity. I was trying to decide between two other songs, one of which was another version of a song I played recently. Anyway, so decided to wedge this one in.
Right.
This is from a brand new collection by... a group called Denmark in Winter. And I love what they do with their covers. They're always very innovative, always really, really creative, really cool. And this one is a good example of what they do and how they switch things up and make things different. This is from the brand new album called The Holiday Collection, although it is not necessarily a Christmas song. It's originally by Ben E. King of the Drifters. It is Stand By Me.
Excuse me, pal, but where do I go to bleed the old lizard?
You must recover all the energy immediately, Mega Man.
I'm getting too old for this show. This is the Morning Stream.
I give to you the greatest voice actor in the history of video games. That guy. Isn't he great?
You must recover all the energy immediately, Mega Man.
Let's do another take. Nope, nope. Got it. Move on.
Good enough. Here's some more of him.
But where is Dr. Wily?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Here's another one.
We may be able to locate another energy emission from the radar room. When we find that meteor, we'll find Dr. Wily.
Dr. Wily.
Dr. Wily.
Yeah. That guy's the best. I was introduced to that by, I'd never played the Mega Man series, so John Jagger, co-host of Core and Game & Pal, he dug that up for me for the first time I'd heard it, and that I couldn't believe it. It's almost as good as Jill and Barry.
It is, almost.
Maybe almost. A little better. Maybe better. Who knows? All right. What are we doing here? Bill. Bill time. Whoa.
Bill.
Yeah, hold on. I screwed that up. Here we go. B-I-L-L. Bill. Bill. Okay. Now I need a theme for Bill. Because that's what you do. You have themes for people, and they sound a little like... I'll just do anything with Bill in it. How about this one?
Okay. It has the strength to withstand storm force winds. Amazing.
That's Billy Mays.
Thank you, sweet. Billy Mays.
Bill Duran on the line. Hi, Bill.
That's close enough.
It's six and a half a dozen of another, six of plus more. What's the phrase?
That's exactly right. Just
six,
like that.
Six of enough? What?
Six of one, half a dozen of another.
It wasn't coming out right.
Wow.
Sounds like my doctor. Bill.
Goodness.
Hi, Bill. It's good to have you on, man. What's going on? How's your life? We missed you last week. It was my fault, but how are you? What's going on?
I realize I haven't showered yet today, but I don't think I look like Daryl yet.
No. You do look like a Sith a little bit in that hoodie.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many times did you see the movie now?
Only once. Mm. Damn it.
Mm. Same here.
We were my wife and I were talking about this yesterday because we want to plan some cool prop builds for the next year.
Sure.
And I gotta make something from the new Star Wars, so we'll probably just go ahead and go see that movie again.
Yeah, we're gonna see it on Christmas Eve. Well, that's a question. When you see something like this, and it's illegal to go in there and take a bunch of pictures, right?
Yeah.
Do you sketch things? Like, what are you thinking there? You got a little pen light? Like, how do you get your inspiration until you can get that thing home or in a place where you can study it?
I'll just write it down. I just need to remember that what the things are, and I can look them up later.
Mm.
Like, the first time we saw it, I was just overwhelmed. There was a lot going on, and I wasn't thinking of listing everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, my God, it's more Star Wars in my face. It's amazing.
I want to make everything I saw that was weird. Like, I want that weird walking red robot thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like dude in the desert and his little riding thing, like all that stuff. I don't know.
Make one of the Guavian helmets. Those helmets that have the big circular black.
That's on my list too. Those are cool.
That's so cool.
Every time I saw those kinds of things, I just went, "Oh, Bill."
That's great.
Bill, Bill.
That's what I need is another helmet I can't see out of. Fantastic.
You got to do little cameras or something. Little
area. I do want to try that actually. Mm-hmm. I have a solution for that. I have not tried, but I do want to give it a go.
Yeah, I keep hearing people say like, "Oh, like a GoPro because it has a nice big wide sort of fisheye area of view and you can get like peripheral vision on those things and like you can create a crazy costume and still have really good vision. In fact, sometimes better vision than you would have if you just used your eyes.
Interesting.
I want a Boba Fett helmet. The Mandalorian helmets, or at least Boba Fett's, according to the extended universe canon, he can see 360 degrees all around him.
Oh, really?
He's got a whole HUD in there, yeah.
He's no good to me dead.
That's right.
I can see behind me right now.
That would be awesome. Not only would my cosplay helmet not hinder my vision, but it would enhance it.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm all about enhanced vision. Yeah, that seems good. Well, good. Well, it's good to have you on, man. It's been a while. How's the world of health and fitness in the nerd life?
It's good. There's good news.
Oh, my gosh. Lay it on me.
Good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone.
So, I don't know about you guys, but there's this trend where the food that is healthier tends to cost more.
Mm.
And the cheaper foods tend to be not so great for you.
Yeah.
In fact, way back when Brittany and I made our great move to Seattle, which was like 10 years ago, just crazy to think, we were not so well off. We were what you would call poor.
Mm-hmm.
And we really sort of stretched the limits of how little you could get by on. And a lot of that had to do with the food choices we made, right? When you're living on very little every single month. So we mostly got by on like frozen burritos, which you could get like 10 of those for, I think, $2. Yeah. And they weren't even good, like tasty.
I used to be a big fan of those. You mean like those white burritos you buy in a bag of like 10 of them?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're like short and they're bean, whatever. When I was a kid, I thought they were amazing. Had one a couple years ago and just about died. They're terrible.
No, oh, they really are. Yeah.
They're bad.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to the store Aldi? You ever been there?
Aldi.
You got any of those around?
No, not that it's not ringing the bell. No.
So we had them in upstate New York. Aldi US, is that it? Yeah. Aldi.us. Okay. I think that's actually, it's like a Scottish store or something. Anyway, that's where we shopped almost exclusively. And like we would just buy a 50 pack of hot dogs.
Oh my gosh.
We're good. We're good for a week. We could just eat hot dogs every day.
All the nitrates you'll ever need.
Yeah. Right. All in one delicious package.
Ugh. Yeah. So you get caught in this cycle though, where you're just continuously eating just not so great food for you. And you miss out on stuff like fresh veggies, right? Because fresh veggies, they can't, you know, they don't freeze them or anything.
They'll microwave well, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
But there's good news now.
Okay.
Good news.
Mm-hmm.
So the former president of Trader Joe's, which I'd love me some Trader Joe.
Trader? What? Trader Joe? Is that what we're calling it?
That's what my brother and his wife call it.
I'm going to have sit down conversation with Robert. That's terrible. I hate that.
Anyway,
yes.
The guy that started Trader Joe's.
Is his name Joe?
No, it's something stupid.
He left the company and he's renaming it Trader Joe's because he's traitor to the Trader Joe's. Sorry, go ahead.
His last name is Rauch.
Oh.
Rauch.
Trader Rauch is not as cool of a name.
No, not
doesn't bring people into your store.
Doug Rauch. All right. Okay. Where was I?
Trader Doug's.
So he's starting a low-cost health food store called The Daily Table.
Mm.
The first one opened in Boston this year. And they claim that their prices are low enough to compete with fast food. And they even have some options that what they call grab-and-go options. So if you don't have time to cook, it's just like a pre-made thing you can snatch up on your way through. And it's a super healthy little meal for you.
Sounds awesome. And where are they starting? Where is this going to be?
The first one was in Boston.
Oh, I wish they were everywhere. This sounds great to me.
Oh, yeah.
I already like Trader Joe's for similar reasons, you know? And we have Trader Joe's here, and we love it.
Yeah. Trader Joe's is also, it's like, I compare it to Whole Foods without all the pretentiousness.
Mm-hmm. And the price hiking.
And the pricing, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I would prefer to go to Trader Joe's than Whole Foods. Like, yeah, I really feel like there's just way more value there.
Their peanut butter's real good.
They have a great cheese selection.
Yeah, some good cheeses there.
Yeah.
What else? They got really great breads. Like, they just it bugs
good
me.
Deals on wine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go in there and it just irritates me.
$2 chuck.
Yeah. Well, $3 chuck now. But
yeah, they did raise the prices.
Still, that's not bad. So if you go I go in there and I just, when I go in there, it just irritates me that Whole Foods is as expensive as it is.
Oh, yeah.
It just bugs me. It's like, wait, this stuff's just as good.
Yes, it is. What's cool is they make deals with food vendors, and they buy up like big lots of food that would otherwise be like thrown away for arbitrary reasons. Mm. There's a lot of waste in the food industry. And that what they're trying to do is, you know, kill two birds with one stone. Provide this healthy food for a decent price and also reduce food waste, which I think is pretty fantastic. I
wonder if they ever run into expiration problems or anything like that, where it's like, well, the reason we're getting this lot is because they were throwing it away because it's, you know, 6 months out of date or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well, what they're saying, though, is that they, because that's how they are supplied, what they have on hand is inconsistent. Mm. So you're not going to go there like, I when I go to the grocery store, I buy the same thing every single time. I don't have a lot of variety. What I actually like about this is if you go to the store and you're not quite sure what you're going to get, you can mix it up a little bit. You got a lot of, you know, good options and a lot of good variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually wouldn't
mind if I went over to Safeway and I'd be like, hey, can I get exactly what I get every time? And they're like, no, just try something new, jerk.
Well, it says
that you bought the same box of lettuce wraps for the last five visits.
Well, yeah. if this other dude's thing, his new thing takes off, that would be good for everybody. That sounds really great to me. So bring it. We have a place locally called Sprouts that is very like fresh everything and blah, blah, blah. And the prices are pretty good. The comparable to other kind of crap grocery stores, it's on par or less. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a trend toward this. Like, at some point, you hit a bubble of like, all right, everyone's gouging everyone for everything. Maybe there's some alternatives out there, and it's right. Nice to hear those are cropping up.
And I'm pretty sure, like, when it comes to the trendy grocery stores, like Whole Foods and everything, there is a point of diminishing returns where the extra that you're paying is really just paying because their rent is really high in that neighborhood for the Whole Foods, so they have to charge a lot.
Certainly could be, yeah.
Yeah, there's diminishing returns on the quality of food that you're getting back for your dollar.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's on the far other end too. Once the price gets low enough, then, you know, you're not getting a lot of nutritional value for your dollar on the other end. So
sure.
Some good happy middle ground.
There you go. I like it. This seems like good advice, as always, from one builder. And speaking of whom, is there anything going on this week or right prior to Christmas that you'd like people to pay attention to on your YouTube channel or your website or anything else?
Yes, there is.
Yay.
My wife, Brittany, is starting to make videos for our YouTube channel. She wants to get into it. So she put up one yesterday. She made a Bleach Hollow mask from an anime show that I haven't watched yet. And it's awesome. It's really, really cool. She shot and edited the whole video, and she's in it, and she made a cool helmet. So everyone needs to go watch that video on youtube.com/punishedprops. Give it a thumbs up. Tell Brittany how awesome she did.
Yeah,
cool.
And good comments. Don't leave lame comments.
No.
I know it's YouTube, and that seems like that's what you're supposed to do, but come on.
I will say, on our YouTube channel, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm doing something right, I guess, but the comments are generally very positive.
Yeah, so I don't really have this problem either with my YouTube stuff. It's like, we operate in, I think, a different community circles than the average
crowd.
Internet.
Yeah.
So more of that, please.
Occasionally, I just get someone who doesn't like the way I talk for some reason, and they feel they need to tell me that, and then I feel like I need to tell them that I don't give a damn.
This is how I talk. F off. They really don't. They don't like how you talk. What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's one of those things where like two people ever have said that, yeah. And those are the only two comments I remember.
Yeah, my favorite. Well, if I say that, I know this person listens, so I'm going to not throw him under the bus today. But I have a very particular YouTube comment that I'll never forget. He's since apologized, so I probably shouldn't say anything. But yeah, YouTube, F off. That's what I like to say.
Right.
Yeah, but go to youtube.com/punishprops, and as always, Chinbeard on Twitter. Stay out of trouble, man, and enjoy your Christmas. Merry Christmas, by the way.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho. All right. That was my Santa Claus.
I don't like the way he says Merry Christmas.
Not a fan?
Yeah, not a fan.
Just let him know in the comments. Put it in the comments.
Will do. I'll put it on YouTube. Rather than just tell him, you know, email him or anything.
Yeah, like
that,
rather than have an actual dialogue with him, you just go ahead and just arbitrarily
just put it
up there.
On YouTube and...
under your fake name.
Share with everybody.
Bibby 2120 or whatever. That sounds like a great idea.
You know it.
I do know it. Well, of course I know it. I've seen what you've done. I was watching the whole time. Here's this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
A man who I spoke to less than 12 hours ago, Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, I think me and Ash are just going to move in. We're just going to move out. You know, I think you guys got some kids that are leaving the nest. So we're just going to just take one of those rooms right back.
Okay, it's all yours. You can have the girly one. There's lots of stuff in there. We'll have to change.
Listen, when once you get married, man, like you got to start to relinquish some of that, you know, exactly how manly your living quarters are going to be to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've given up much in that regard. And that's okay because I've also gained a room that I get to decide everything that happens in. So it's totally fine. It's a give and take, man. That's how marriages are supposed to work. I'll tell you what else is supposed to work well. That's Tuesdays with Justin Robert Young comes on the show and talks about whatever's happening in his mind, his vast, cavernous mind.
Wow, that's how we're starting.
Well, you know, I mean, both of us are probably as Star Wars talked out as we can be. And this show, we promised no spoilers, so I doubt that'll be on the table. But what's going on, man? Where does your heart tell you today? What's going
on? Well, normally right now, we normally start with whether or not anything has bothered you in the last 7 days with Donald Trump.
Well, other than him just genuinely sucking continually, I can't think of anything in particular. I will say something that bothered me at the Democratic debate, if you'd like to hear about that.
Oh, did that? Okay, sure, yeah.
Hillary Clinton leaving to go pee?
That didn't bother me at all. In fact, it basically...
There is no end to the joy I get in there being a legitimate national debate of number one or number two.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we are reduced to just... the most like what a parent asks their child, you know, like number one, number two. Was it number one or number two?
Yeah. Or is it number three, we used to say as kids, which meant real trouble was afoot.
Oh, no, that's, you know,
after you had the spoiled
morning sailors at warning.
The spoiled mayonnaise that Trader Joe's gave you number three.
Yeah. Well, first of all, to comment on that specifically, when she left for that period of time, I think the duration of her absence, she went to take a dump, dude. There's no way she just went to pee. She went and took a gnarly dump.
It is somebody's job to ask questions about why Hillary Clinton was in the bathroom so long.
Yeah.
It's just great. part of the reporting that I read was that it was also, the bathroom is further away.
Yeah.
And B, there was an issue about people being in the bathroom and she didn't want to be in the bathroom with other people, which a lot of people were like, oh, like what a diva. But let's say she is going number two. And it is like she is calling down the thunder as if she's right. And it is just claps, thunderous claps that are emanating. Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me, madam.
Yeah, like that.
And somebody decides, oh my God, this is the best. I need to record this.
Let me take out my cell phone and record this.
And sell it to TMZ, right?
Yeah.
This is why when at Nerdtacular, I go back up to the room if I need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. No, you want to, you don't want to go. Well, actually, I did use the, I used the toilet a couple of times, and I had a conversation with somebody next to me, which was kind of fun. But that, but that's
oh, no, you're one of those?
Yeah, it's just one, it became, you know, that's more of a, hey, we're all in this fun community together. Everything's cool. We can poo in front of each other. But
Dude, I encourage people to record the sounds that I make while in the
some auto-tune filters on it.
But you can
use and recycle. It is part of the many gifts that you get for coming to Nerdtacular.
But in her credit, I mean, to her credit, I would say that that was the right thing to desire for somebody who's a candidate, a leading candidate of a party who's trying to, you know, win a presidential race.
I don't blame them. I mean, again, like so much of being a candidate is playing not to lose, or at least it was before Donald Trump just started to say literally whatever was on his mind. But like in general, for Hillary Clinton, like the only thing that could have Bernie Sanders win the Democratic nomination is Hillary Clinton screwing up.
Right.
Like she's got such a lead. It would take something that she did to eradicate it.
Yeah. No, so, you're totally
like,
right.
You know, I don't if she's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't. Hillary Clinton blows up bathroom to be the number one YouTube video of all time.
Rex,
you know what? How about you? Teresa and Sue, why don't you wrap it on up and let Hillary get in?
Yeah, you know, it'd be real funny though, is if the video included the debauchery of her in there and then opening that stall and seeing somebody with a camera and going, do not go in there or something like that. Like, like really play it up. Now like that leads,
Jim Carrey thing, yeah.
That actually kind of leads to my complaint. I felt a little pandered to when she decided to substitute the normal and may God bless America with, and may the force be with you.
You want to know
what?
I got a little rankled about that too.
Oh, did you know?
In general, I don't mind them doing it.
Yeah.
I don't mind politicians doing it because politicians, again, if it were time feasible to say everybody's name in the country and wish them happy birthday, they would do it.
Yeah.
Because the point of being a politician is to get you into a booth to press the button.
Yeah.
That's it. It's about nothing else. Not about ideas. It's not about hopes. It's not about dreams. It's not about America. The science of it is getting people into a booth to press your button. So Star Wars is the most popular thing on the planet. I'm shocked everybody didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
What I get annoyed about, what I get rankled about, is when everybody's like, oh my God, she's so cool.
Yeah. I think that's what she wanted, but that isn't, it's not cool. It's pandering.
Yes. All right. So I initially had exactly your perspective. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Just yet another example of Hillary Clinton wanting to, you know, put on a backwards hat and, you know,
I'm one of you.
Start doing vines.
Well, it's like that drink that
vaping and
the Clinton chiller drink or whatever. And she takes she has this vine where she shoots a second of that and then looks in the camera and says, I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids or whatever she says. Oh, like every time she does something like that, an angel loses half its wing. Like, well,
but then I was thinking, I mean, like, how old is Hillary Clinton? Like, Hillary Clinton was a nerd by any and all biographical accounts. The idea that she would have been really into Star Wars, or at least have enjoyed the movie initially, that's not, I mean, I was reminded by how long Star Wars has gone on.
Yeah.
Right? And we're talking a long time since this movie has been a cultural.
She would have been in her 20s, I guess, or something, right?
Yeah. So it's like, that's right there in that sweet spot if you're a nerd,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Those big glasses.
So I was like, all right, you want to know what? Maybe she really likes Star Wars. So now I want the reporting to be whether or not she really likes Star Wars.
Well, how do you... Okay, so let's just say that we wanted to get as petty as possible. I mean, if we're going to give Trump so much damn airspace, we may as well give some airtime to how to find out whether or not Hillary Clinton's an actual Star Wars fan or not. How would you go? What would your investigation be? How would you spearhead that?
Well, I'm doing it right now. I'm just going to Google Hillary Clinton Star Wars.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be 100% accurate and not wrong at all.
The number one news story is Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton got schlonged in 2008.
Got schlong.
That was the word they got. Okay, I was wondering because Today Show bleeped out the word and said a vulgarity. So that was the word, huh?
Who said schlong?
Donald Trump.
He used the word schlong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Said that she got schlonged by Obama. And
all right, Scott, here. You want to know what? I'm going to give you it. All right, here.
He said schlong, dude.
All right, Scott, here's something. And I feel like this segment has more often than not lately become like a reprise of the politics podcast.
It's so fine with me.
Enjoy this, then just please listen to the show. Because I think you're going to very much enjoy it.
All right.
I got this thing, and I feel like subconsciously I developed it for you.
All right.
You know how Google Chrome has plugins?
Yeah. I'm using one now.
So this is just, consider this a plugin for your brain.
Okay.
That once installed will make Donald Trump far less blood pressure inducing for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's called the Wiggy plugin.
Wiggy?
Wiggy.
Wiggy.
Is this an actual plugin?
This is a plugin for your brain that I invented.
Oh, you're making this up. I thought I was going to open Chrome and like, okay.
He's not making it up. He invented it.
Everyone's made something up, Scott.
Okay.
You think inventions just fall from the sky?
All right. You make a fair point.
Here we go.
Okay.
The Wiggy plugin.
All right.
Whenever you read something that gets you annoyed about Donald Trump.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
You just read it back in your head.
Uh-huh.
This voice, and always add, I'm Wiggy at the end.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
So we're going to start right here.
All right.
Hillary Clinton got schlonged in 2008. I'm Wiggy.
This sounds like, I'm Mr. Macy's. It sounds like that thing.
Kind of, yeah. Listen, yeah. Whatever you need to reference it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So
here we go. When I'm president, we're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. I'm Wiggy. Just make him. He's very proud. Like, listen, he's just an adorable little guy, and he's just yelling about things that he wants to do. And when he's in that voice, you just want to be supportive. You're like, yay, Wiggy.
It's actually kind of working. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's actually working.
When I'm president, you'll get so tired of winning, you'll be bored of winning. I'm Wiggy.
Is Alora in the chat room?
I want a cartoon now.
Yeah, the chat room says, is Trump a tiny little fly on a web from the original fly? Going, help me. It's very similar
help
to that.
Me.
All right, I like it. Someone else had this idea, so I want to share this with you. It is Donald Trump.
I think I'm
answering questions in a British accent. So here it is.
Hispanics. I employ thousands of Hispanics. They love me. I love them. And I think I'm going to do great with women. One of the reasons I'm going to do great with women is that I'm a leader. I'm not like Hillary Clinton. She's got no strength. She's got no stamina. Everything she does is like theatrical. Donald Trump said this.
That's really great. It's totally like lip reading.
Chris Parnell? Who is that?
That sounds like Parnell, doesn't it? Oh,
it does.
It doesn't say. It looks like it's just some website, but that's fabulous. Does it improve my opinion of Donald Trump? Yes, just a tiny little bit to hear a British
well,
accent.
Well, actually, to be honest, what that kind of illustrates is how conversational he really is, which is really, I think, what if there is a lesson to learn politically from Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
It is that we are a more media savvy culture than we were. And there is something refreshing about people who feel like they are talking more off the cuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or the idea that people like that we know the difference between fake talking off the cuff and real talking off the cuff.
Right. I mean, but can you? Here's the thing, though. Will people see, let's say I run for president and I talk off the cuff, but my talking off the cuff turns out to be very articulate and measured and not crazy. Let's say that. Does that mean perceive me as talking off the cuff, or will they perceive me as too prepared?
No, because that kind of socially proves authenticity,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. I mean, but
the idea that like, all right, so you talk off the cuff, you're obviously not talking from cards or something like that, right? Right, and part of this is politics 101, right? There's a reason why Ronald Reagan was the great communicator, because he could talk in a way that made people feel like he was just talking to them.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton, the same thing.
Right.
But now you can, I mean, like, there's no denying, whatever you think of Donald Trump, there's no denying that he is probably talking exactly what he believes, right? Yeah. Like, or like, or maybe not what he believes, but he is talking off the cuff. He's not talking from a piece of paper.
Right.
He doesn't have pre-approved talking points.
Right.
And so that idea leads to, well, he might back up what he is saying. Now, the idea of what he is saying kind of horrifies people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Some voters, many voters. But the fact that he says that he seems like he won't just get into office and kind of be the same old dude, that appeals to people.
Yeah.
So yes, when you run for office, I think that you should speak extemporaneously a lot more.
But don't they all say this, though? They all say that they're different than the establishment. They're all going to be different when they get into office. Hillary Clinton, who's been in that office more often than anyone else, is saying that she'll be different than what's in that office. But what's the difference between that and the way he's doing it is just off script? And they're
because
just,
he, all right, so yes, they're all saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And he's the only one saying it without a net, right?
Yeah.
And also, I think that he's just getting, in a lot of ways, Donald Trump kind of is the internet candidate. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is kind of the newspaper or television candidate.
Mm.
In that. Right?
You there? Oops,
oh, did we lose him?
No, I thought we did, but he's there now. You there? Hello. Hello.
All right, guys. I gotta wrap it up.
Oh, you gotta go?
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We have Comcast here.
Oh yeah. No. Oh. Let them in. Let them in.
Between 12 and 5.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. Have fun. All right. So they're cutting them off. Well, that was the briefest, quickest drop of Jerry we'll ever likely to have in our lives. Just leave it right there.
Holy mackerel!
Amazing. You know what that actually means? We're gonna end on time today.
On a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do with my extra half hour?
It's going up on a Tuesday. All right. I want to play a quick phone call, though. Okay?
Yeah.
So here you go. Here's one.
Hey, Scott Hanna and OK Brugel. This is John DeRoche, or Cloud Gator in the Tadpool, also known as John DeRoche, if you go by Johnson in English. I've been tinkering with the cryptex known as... how do we get the voice services on cell phones to recognize Brian Hibbett's name? And I think I have one piece of the puzzle closer. If you say, who is Brian Hibbett of Arvada, Colorado, while it won't speak his entry, it does at least bring it up as the first result with Google Now.
I feel like I heard that before. Did we hear that before?
I think so, too. I think that was a while back, or is that a new call?
Well, I don't know, but did we ever try it? So let's try it.
Yeah, it won't say it back, so it'll just be like a pull it up on screen thing, but
all right, let's see. Who is Brian Hibbett?
Of Arvada, Colorado.
Okay, here's contact information for Brian Hibbett.
Oh.
Well, it's because I'm in your phone.
Oh duh. We're supposed to be doing
I'm in your contacts.
We're supposed to be doing OK Google, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I forgot what we were doing. Let's try this again. Here we go. Google. Oh, I haven't actually run this on this new phone. Or have I? Okay, no, yes, I have. Who is Brian Hibbett? Okay. Nope, still says Emmett. So now let's try the Arvada thing.
All right. Let's see if that's the key.
Who is Brian Hibbett of Arvada, Colorado? Nope, Brian Abbott. It's not working.
Wow.
It's not working.
Try Brian Ibott of Arvada, Colorado.
Who is Brian Ibott of Arvada, Colorado? I'm holding it up in case she says something. Okay, no, she didn't. It says Brian M. Frank in Arvada, Colorado. Brian J. Michaels. Brian Murphy. Yeah.
Well, I am unlisted, so that might be part of it.
Oh, that could be. That's a good idea to be unlisted.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think I should be unlisted.
Fox courthouse.
Yeah, easy to do. I need the witness protection program.
Right.
That's going to do it for us, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being here. And we'll have Jerry back after the holiday to see how they went with Comcast. I can't wait for next Tuesday.
I'm sure it's going to go fine.
We will have a show tomorrow, although it will be minus Tom Merritt. He's on a plane during that time. But the rest of us will be having our show. And then there is no show Thursday for Christmas Eve. And the same schedule next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no show New Year's Eve. Right. But then we're back to our normal schedule after the
and
first
And you and I
year.
Might record something, you know, like a little BuzzFeed quiz or some such nonsense.
Absolutely,
like
we should. If we By the way, we're terrible if we don't. We should. Yes.
It'll be terrible. Right. Our recommendals tomorrow. Mm. It was cast members of something. Was it cast members of Star Wars?
It was Star Wars. Yes. Cast members of Star Wars that in other roles.
Right. Right.
And we could. And it wasn't the rule that you can't do all Harrison Ford, or maybe we can, but maybe it doesn't matter. Does it matter?
I think we take Harrison Ford as low hanging fruit. I think you take him off the table unless you're going to do. No, I think you take him off the table.
I agree. So you tell Harrison Ford, please take your low-hanging fruit off the table. That's what we're supposed to say.
My low-hanging fruit belongs in a museum, Dad.
Museum, Dad. So, yes, I'm thinking, like, you know, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, the girl who plays Rey, Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley or John Boyega. Sure. Or,
I'm convinced more than ever, by the way, that Daisy Ridley is one of the great Star Wars characters of all time.
I'm completely 100% with you.
She's awesome.
She's delightful.
You know what she reminded me of? Very specifically, she looks and is about the size of my oldest daughter, and she has the attitude and spunk of my second youngest.
Wow.
She is the amalgam of my two lady daughters.
I was thinking she's like a less harsh Keira Knightley.
There's that too. Not quite as angular. Keira Knightley scares me sometimes. I'm afraid she needs to eat a sandwich. That's a terrible thing to say to people, but she's very skinny. It doesn't seem healthy to be
skinny.
Skinny
shaming, Scott. Is that what we resorted to?
Let's put it this way. When I was 12, that's what I looked like. I looked like Keira Knightley when I was 12.
Wow.
Hubba hubba. this is all she wrote, folks. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Support us at patreon.com/TMS. We'd really appreciate that. 801-471-0462 will get you to our voicemail line. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. At Coverville for Brian, at Scott Johnson for me, at Morningstream for the show, and on Reddit we are at frogpants.reddit.com. I think that's it. That's all she wrote. Let's give us a song, man.
Well, okay. Schnago wrote in, Lon, friend of the show, and my trivia thing. Let's talk about that, Lon. Yep. Let me get that trivia thing.
And the deliverer of fine cheese curds.
Yes. Oh, yes. Cheese curds. So, Walk Off the Earth, specifically Gianni and Sarah of Walk Off the Earth, two of the lead singers. I think just about everybody in that group except for Hat Guy is a lead singer. But they put together a cover of the Pogues and Kirstie McCall classic Fairy Tale of New York. New York. I was thinking Walk Off the Earth, Fairy Tale of New York, and merged them. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a great rendition. I will warn people that, like the Pogues version, it does contain that other F word.
Oh.
That's not the F U word.
The derogatory gay word.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And used in a non-homophobic way, but still is a derogatory gay word.
All right.
So be prepared for that. I don't know. Maybe you want to, I don't know if you want to bleep it out, but
I'll watch for it. I'll mark it as I hear it. We'll make the determination on the fly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is great. And it is, it was voted as the UK's favorite Christmas song of all time, the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl original. So this is a terrific version. Fairy Tale of New York. Performed here by Gianni and Sarah of Walk Off the Earth.
See you guys tomorrow.
It was Christmas Eve day. Hey, and the drum tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. So he sang a song. The rare old Mountain Dew. I turned my face away. Dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one. Came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me. Happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I couldn't see a better time when all our dreams come true.
They've got cars big as bars, they've got ribbons of gold, but the windows red through you, no place for the old. You first shook my hand on a cold Christmas Eve. You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty, queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner and danced through the night. Boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
You're a bum, you're a punk,
you're an old slut, old junk, lying there almost dead with that trip in our bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're ours, pray to God it's our last.
Boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. Been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it out alone. I built my dreams around.
To the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay,
and the bells were ringing out for,
the bells were ringing out for, the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
One.
We starting over?
Ah. The show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Drive around a pickup truck with Granny strapped to the back.
All right.